This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association, the Turfgrass Environmental Stewardship Fund, and your Cornell University's Turfgrass program. I'm Frank Rossi. I'm the Extension Turfgrass Specialist here at Cornell University, and the following are observations and recommendations for the week of April 28th, 2014. The Turfgrass Environmental Stewardship Fund was successfully procured from the New York State Legislature by the lobbying efforts of the entire turfgrass industry in New York, led by the New York State Turfgrass Association. This fund will provide important research and education dollars for Cornell University, as well as our SUNY partners at Cobleskill and Delhi. These funds are used to answer important questions that aid in the environmental compatibility of turfgrass management, as well as educating on the latest thinking for BMPs and protecting our state's precious natural resources, notably water. Shortcut benefits from this support and will continue to stress important management practices and products that aids with providing high-quality turf whilst maintaining high levels of environmental quality. Now, the forecast information for last week indicates that last week was a cooler temperature dominated throughout the region, with inland 6 to 7 degrees below normal and the coastline 3 to 6 degrees below normal. Extreme south of the region of D.C. was 10 degrees below normal, and few, if any, base 50 growing degree days accumulated, and base 32 growing degree days for seed head development is moving slowly. The season is progressing slowly from a growing degree day perspective, with 14 to 21 days behind the long-term average. Soil temperatures are creeping into the 50s in New York metro area and still below 50 to the north. Widespread 1 to 2-inch rainfalls moved through last week from D.C. to Boston and Hudson Valley into Albany. Central New Jersey and New York City got a half to 1 inch, and western and northern New York about a quarter inch. E.T. was a half to 3/4 of an inch for the week, so some drying could have occurred to the west of the region where E.T. exceeded rainfall. A cold, wet, and windy week ahead after a nice day on Monday for the forecast. Temps expected to be 5 degrees or more below normal, and rainfall totals could be very high, with 3 to 4 inches expected in the Philly, D.C. area. Much of New York will receive about 1 inch, and expect a cool, wet pattern to continue. And you can check out all the weather information, forecast predictions, ET, moisture, etc., on our forecast website that you can access through the Cornell Turfgrass website. Our cooperative extension update this week comes from both Randy Prostak at the University of Massachusetts and Walt Nelson, our own Cornell Cooperative Extension personnel in Monroe County. Randy talks to us this week about winter annuals continuing to emerge at a very slow rate and are developing equally as slow across the entire Northeast. Coupled with the slow development of perennial broadleaf weeds like dandelions this spring, there's still plenty of time for both pre-emergence herbicides as well as post-emergence that can control both the winter annuals present and the broadleaves as their more susceptible stage based on the base 50 growing degree day model used on forecast. A note about turf-type tall fescue damage from Walt Nelson in Monroe County. The increased use of tall fescue in the Northeast over the last decade created some nervousness this winter due to the exceptionally hard winter. However, there have been only sporadic reports of large-scale losses of tall fescue. Turfgrass research that has investigated tall fescue and perennial ryegrass winter hardiness has suggested that wet soils and very cold temperatures could lead to winter kill, yet some areas where tall fescue experienced these conditions saw no damage. Furthermore, we are seeing that tall fescue does best where it can root deeply. Therefore, as we continue to increase our use of the turf-type tall fescues in more northern climates, be mindful of soil type and amend to improve the permeability of soils with a high percentage of fine particles in both the silt and clay fraction. An annual bluegrass seed head update. The cool temperatures have kept annual bluegrass seed head development on hold. Interestingly, many have made at least two applications of either Proxy Plus Primo or Embark Plus Primo, and the success of these programs remains in doubt. I've seen very few seed heads in rough areas and along roadsides as of yet, as conditions, especially temperature, remains well behind normal. Be mindful of your aggressive cultivation and recovery programs while you are regulating the turf, and consider skipping your second application or at least delaying the application to allow for good, vigorous turf growth. It's hard to know how seed head control will be assessed this spring, and we know it helps alleviate some stress of annual bluegrass later. So it's worth the time to make sure you get annual bluegrass seed head suppression correct. My Gazing in the Grass update this week begins with a note about cool, wet, disease weather. The persistent cool, wet weather expected this week will make issues such as cool season brown patch, yellow patch, whitetia patch more severe. While often we do not see turf killed from this pathogen, damage can be so severe, especially on putting greens, that recovery is slow. Additionally, if you have a history of pink snow mold or microdochium patch, then the weather this week will also create increased pressure. High-value turf should have some controls in place to avoid significant damage. A note about sustainable turf management. Mowing is the single most energy-consumptive process we perform in turf. Of course, the easy solution for many is to reduce mowing, but often the question comes, how does one decide? There are a few criteria one must consider. First, we mow for function on sports and golf turf. Next, we mow for safety, auto, pedestrian, golfer. On a golf course, we mow for pace of play, but for many, we mow for visual appeal, that is, a well-manicured turf. That said, if we attempt to simply stop mowing areas, it will likely give the appearance that we are cutting back, not doing our job, sloppy, etc. I suggest you approach this issue more deliberately. This week, let's consider replanting areas to find fescues, especially the hard sheeps and chewings fescues that will be slow growing. The fine fescues will offer flexibility. If you want a mowed look, they will tolerate it well. And yet, if you want to reduce mowing to once per month or a true no-mow, then it will provide an excellent and deliberate meadow look as opposed to cutting back look. Drawbacks to fescues include lack of traffic tolerance, and they will not be easy to keep green in summer. However, when maintained as a meadow, do provide a unique look. A note about wet sports field. This is the kind of spring we've not had for a few years with persistent wet soils and very cool weather. The last few spring seasons have been more warm and dry and allow for significant traffic before the decline. The force of compaction and the shearing force of the aggressive footwear worn by most athletes will result in significant loss in turf density, compacted soils, and due to slow growth, very slow recovery. It is vital you aggressively rotate fields, especially goal mile traffic, avoiding more than 2 days in a row use for practice. Be mindful that not only will the turf wear, but as the soil compacts, it settles and leaves a slight depression, where further moisture will accumulate and lead to a sealed surface and an area completely inhospitable for growing turf. You might consider some thick-cut sod as a temporary fix in the goal mouth areas, but this will require more thorough renovation after season. Of course, if you have any synthetic surfaces available for use, now is the time to use them, as it will help keep your existing turf healthy. And finally, a note about overseeding sports turf. The loss of turf density from the winter or from aggressive sporting traffic will demand an aggressive overseeding program of rapidly germinating species such as perennial ryegrass or tall fescue. Do not use tall fescue if you do not currently have a tall fescue field, as it will lead to a non-uniform appearance. Our work has shown as little as 2 pounds of seed per 1,000 square feet is enough when applied weekly in season to keep pace with heavy traffic. It is critical you start this repetitive overseeding practice now. Thank you for joining me for the April 28th version in 2014 of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association, the Turfgrass Environmental Stewardship Fund, and your Cornell University's Turfgrass Program. I'm Frank Rossi. I'm the turf professor in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.